There is a storyline focusing on what Jesus has done for us that maybe I have not focused on during the actual week or Holy Week. But it's something that I want to bring to our attention. I want to focus on, here's what was going on in Jesus' day. Jesus was looking around and he saw even the religious leaders of his time, they were not faithful to God. During this final week that Jesus walked in to Jerusalem, we know that he went into the temple to cleanse the temple. Now, what a lot don't remember, and I'm talking about people that study the scripture a lot, there were two times that Jesus went into the temple and cleared the temple out. The first time was at the beginning of his ministry. The second time is at the end of his earthly ministry. But the same message that he gave in the beginning of his ministry was the same message that he gave in the end. And that was that he was looking at a faithless generation. The world itself is faithless when it comes to the true creator of life. You and I battle every day with the evil, with the onslaught of the anti-Jesus folks, of the anti-Christian folks, of the anti-anything that has to do with peace, tranquility, the calm that God teaches us of being, where we will find that peace within us. The world and the things of the world that focus their anger towards us as Christians, that world does not want individuals at peace. Folks, Satan does not want us at peace. He wants us to be in turmoil in his realm. And he wants us to be angry. He wants us to be everything Christ tells us to be. Satan wants us to be the opposite. But when we look at his generation, and we look at our generation today, and not only that, the generations through the centuries, the generation after generation was a generation of individuals that had no faith, and they are individuals who would not be faithful to the Creator. How much has America been given by God? And yet we witness today, day after day, that being faithful in this world is so difficult that now we're pushing the limits to the point that soon, and I've told you that this will come about, when those who stand and proclaim the truth of Christ will be counted as an enemy of the state. We're living in perilous times, and we're living in fearful times because you and I are watching a nation just crumble right in front of us. Our nation. A nation that was given us by Almighty God himself. But why is it crumbling? So I wanted to hit on the topic tonight of focusing on being faithful in a faithless world. You and I, our responsibility is to be faithful to the calling in which God has called us, and to which God has called us. We are to be faithful in our calling, and we are to stand strong in our calling. And every Christian has a calling from God. There is not, well, you know, you have this calling, and they have this calling, but I have no calling. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then we have that calling from God. Luke 18, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking. When I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find on earth who have faith? Or in the old English, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let me read it again. Luke 18:8. Jesus speaking, when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find on earth who have faith? And he's talking about faith in him. Faith in the word that he has given us. You and I, if they take our Bible away from us, they do not take the word of God away from us. We have the word of God in our heart. We have the word of God as a part of our spiritual realm, our spiritual being on the inside. And people will say, well, I just did not memorize the Bible. I know John 3:16. And do you know something? There's power in John 3:16. But let me give you this fact. The Lord says, don't think about what you will say when beforehand when they bring you up in front of the focus of destroying the Christian voice. Don't think beforehand what you're going to say. Don't memorize it. You stand there, and I, through the power of my Holy Spirit, will speak through you. You know, isn't it great that we know that we can be the megaphone for God? That our Christian walk is focused on us being faithful to his truth. Not that we're perfect by any means, nor do we claim to be. And all of us have our faults and failures. And some of us have more than others, I guess. Because I'm not going to ask you about yours. Don't you dare ask me about mine. Think of it. Where do we fall short with God? What is God always pushing in our direction and warning us against? He's warning us against false worship. Folks, the Lord says that I love you, and the love of God cannot even be explained. That's why only God can express godly love. And so therefore, as he expressed his godly love to us, I realize, you should realize, each of us realize, that in our individual calling, that individual calling is important to God just as we were important to God before we knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. He died for me in a sinning state. Here's what the Bible tells us. Number one, that God is looking for faithful people. You know, his first nation, God's nation, the Jewish nation, was made up of renegades, was made up of the vagabonds. It was made up of people that no other nation wanted. And so God says, God is looking, I'm looking for a faithful people. I'm not looking for all you brilliant people who think you're brilliant. I'm looking for a people who will have faith in me and in the word that I will place in your heart, that you will not have to worry about tomorrow, because the God of the day is the God of tomorrow, and the Lord says, that's me. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward him, so that he can show his great power in helping them. He's looking for a faithful people. He is looking for those who profess the name of his son, and he's looking for those individuals who profess his name to be faithful in his word, not our word, his word. And he said, I will build the great nations out of my people. See, when we leave this body, we belong to our God just as we belong to him while in this body. It doesn't change. Number two, the Bible tells us that faithful people are hard to find. Proverbs 26. Everyone talks about how faithful he is, but it is difficult to find someone who really is. Psalm 53, 2 and 3. God looks down from heaven at the children of man to see if a single one is wise and one who seeks God. Now you get wisdom comes with seeking God. Catch that. But all have proven faithless. All have been corrupted. And not one of them always does right. You and I do not always do right. Sometimes we choose not to do right when we know what right is. But we are a child of God. He's looking for those who are faithful even in the mire of the dirt of this earth, even into the quicksand that each of us walk in so often in our journey in life. And the Lord says, I've come to show you what being faithful is all about. Jesus was with God the Father when everything was created. Remember? There's never a time that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God were ever separated. Remember? Always together. And the Lord knew that for you and me in this sinning human state, the greatest hope we had was leaving this body. Remember, the scripture lets us know. Weep at birth and rejoice at death. Well, yeah, that's an easy one to do. You and I do not understand it because we do not understand true faithfulness. Jesus Christ said, I've come to die for you. And whosoever believe in my name, I will in no wise turn away. And when we mention the name of Jesus, people get angry. Why? They're always angry at the truth. Preacher, you're getting fat. That's the truth. But you know, you say, and what do? You want to say, yeah, but I'm going to lose it. Well, you ain't lost any in years. But don't we understand that Jesus is the faithful one? And he says, we think a lot about what we will do, but we don't follow through with it that often. Well, here's something I want you to think about. Jesus says, I just want you to do what you can, and I'll do the rest. I know who you are, Larry. I know your faults, and I know all the messed up wiring that you will have in your brain and in your body. And I want you to know that I'll be faithful to you. Do you know that Christ is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to him? Our actions will not control God's love or God's actions toward us. He said, I'm going to love you always, so therefore he will. The more I think of life and the destruction and the heartache that you and I have witnessed, and the older we get, the more we seem to look at how devastating sin is and what evil can truly do in our nation. Folks, the moral standard for America has been almost completely erased. Can you turn the radio on at any time and hear good preaching? Can you turn it on any time and hear bad preaching on all the stations? Or are there only a few, and we call them the Christian stations, that we turn to? The world has reached into the heart of our children. Jesus says, I'm coming. That's what this week is all about, to show us what truly being faithful to him is about. And the only way we are to learn is in what we see being done in our life. When we look at Christ, we see him following through with his love. He went on to the cross anyway. of God looked down and knew what kind of tree that would make the cross or the cross would come from, and he let it grow anyway. He knew the thorn bush that would be growing. The word, the enemies of God would make it into a mocking crown and be beat into the head of his son, and he'd let it grow anyway. He knew you and I would turn our back on him, and he loved us anyway. Oh, isn't it going to be great to listen to Peter and each of us getting to really, for the first time, really get to see what true love is all about. Number three is faithfulness is the key to blessings and victory. Faithfulness is the key to blessings and victory. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Every child of God can defeat the world. Listen to it. Every child of God can defeat the world, and it is our faith that gives us this victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. It is in who Jesus is that we see our victory. The victory is for us, his children. He conquered. He conquered the death already. Yeah, but Satan's coming back. He no longer has authority over death. Jesus broke that authority. And he also broke the power of his evil strength, but only through free choice. You and I still get to choose. Now, free will is something I do not understand, folks. Because I do know and believe with all my heart that God knew me before the beginning of time, as whatever that is in the realm of God. He knew me. And he knew what was going to take place in my life. And yet he allowed me to have free will and still allows me to have free will. Can I choose to just retire and quit? It'd be a bad choice. But see, you and I have been given that free will. But even in that love of the free will, he tells us, even when you walk away from me, I won't walk away from you. I will still present you to my Father as my friend. He says, when you said yes to me, my Father loves you just as much as he loves me. You and I can't deal with that. We don't understand that kind of love. But I believe it. Why? Because Jesus said it. Every child of God can defeat the world. Let me read it again. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. And it is our faith that gives us the victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Proverbs 28, 2. A faithful man will be richly blessed. Faithful. One who is faithful in the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. Now folks, when you say, yes, Jesus is Lord of my life, that is your outward expression of your inward condition with Christ. And the Lord said, will you stand for me? Look what Jesus, he took time to say, if you will show me before man, confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And so the Lord said, when you say that, yes, I am your Lord, that's being faithful. But Lord, I don't know how to do the other stuff right. What do we do in the troubled times? Be faithful. he says. That means to me, you be faithful to me and watch me as I enter the heart of man. Your worst enemy, once God touches their heart, to change that heart from being an enemy to a friend, that in itself is a miracle. And that is faith, though. That is faith through God's Son, Jesus. Sixth test of faithfulness. Let me get to this, because I think it's important for our special week. Sixth test of faithfulness. Number one, God uses little things to test our integrity. Luke 16:10. Whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. And whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. Luke 16:12. And if you have not been faithful with that which belongs to someone else, who will give you what belongs to you? It's a test of our faithfulness. Well, you know, Lord, I'll be faithful in my calling. Just don't make me get up in front of people and preach. Do we stipulate to God? Do we have certain reservations? God, I will serve you if you... Folks, that has nothing to do with faith. We always have that doubt and we're looking for proof. Well, if God really is who he says he is and he does this or he does that, then he will let me do this. God's not going to let us do anything that's going to harm us. And only he knows the difference. Number two, God uses our talents to test our unselfishness. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. What God has given us, we give God thanks by using that through faith and helping others. When we say we love someone, that expression of love comes through in action. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful in that trust. I must prove faithful. Okay. You and I, out of all the sins in our life, let me tell you the one that will pull us down. Backing away from the Word of God. You can do all good things you want to, but when you back away from the truth of God, my friend, you're getting ready to fall, and great will be that fall. It's required. Yeah, have you ever thought about Christians? Folks, when we accept Christ, it's a requirement that we love each other. And then, in that requirement, you say, look, I don't hardly even like Randy Kidder. And Lord, you're telling me I got to love him. You and I must grow in relationships. It's not a given. Everybody doesn't like you right off the bat either, right? And what it is, when we're looking to the world is looking for somebody that truly acts out what they say they believe. I'm going to church. Why are you going to church? Because I need the Word of God directed at me through messages, through teachings. I just need to get filled up. It's a filling station for me. I want to come and I want to absorb the holy living Word of God. Therefore, I will have the gas to go on for the next week. Number three, God uses tough times to teach us persistence. Tough times. Is any of you in here that has not ever had a tough time? Tough times. Preacher, getting up is tough. Staying up is tougher the older we get. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, but they will produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, and the joys to come will last forever. Woo, I like the forever part, don't you? Galatians 6:9. Don't get tired of doing what's right. You know, as we have watched many, that is obvious in the call to ministry and in the call to any kind of service from the Lord. Everything is fine during the quiet times. But when troubled water begins, and in ministry, folks, troubled water is always there. Too often, people just give up. And they say, but I don't get support from my family or from the community or from this. Our calling as Christians, ministers, is not based on what the community says or our fellow man says. Our calling is based on what God commands us to do while we're on planet Earth. Don't get tired of doing what's right. You will be rewarded when the time is right, if you don't give up. I can never picture myself ever even being made to say that there's another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. I can't picture that. But I could picture the hell that you'd have to go through to stand that ground. Number four. God uses shortages to test our generosity. Luke 16:9 through 14. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends for eternity. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. But if you are unfaithful with your worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? You cannot serve both God and money. If I just had the money, Lord, if I just had enough money, I'd take care of all the problems of the church. The problems of the church have nothing to do with money. It has to do with the lack of ministry from people who've been called to minister. I can talk all day about I was called by God, I called by God to preach, I called by God to preach, but if I don't preach, where is the authority in that? If God has given us certain gifts and, oh, I got this gift I could use for the church, I could do this for the body of Christ, it sounds good. But if I don't do it, what good is it? So he uses those shortages for us. Isn't it amazing? He gives us so much, and the more he gives us, the less we give to him. Interesting. Five principles to make it through tough times. You got them? You ready? Principle number one, God gives to generous people. Great principle. Principle number two, obeying God's vision will bring God's provision. Principle number three, when we do all that God tells us to do, He does what we can't do. Think about it. Principle number four, when we have a need, sow a seed. Principle number five, there's always a delay between sowing and reaping. Now see, our generation can't wait. We can't, you know, I want what you got, and I want what you got right now. So therefore, if I don't get what you got right now, I'll take what you have right now. God gives to us an opportunity. When you say yes to my son, I'll give you an inheritance that is so great, the world is too tiny to hold it, so I'll have to bring you up here in my home to give you all that I want you to have, the riches of glory. Here's your number five and number six. I always think when I do these, the importance of when we look at these tests, be careful that we don't think about somebody else while we're reading them. Oh, you know, here, I got one for you, Randy. It's right here. You know, we do that, and we do that with each other. Oh, the preacher was talking to you this morning, wasn't he? And we hear that, and I can picture all still the angels shaking their head about this greatest of creation, the human existence, and the great love that Christ has shown to us, still refusing to stand for Him. Number five is faithful people bring friends to Jesus. Faithful people bring friends to Jesus. Well, I got company coming. Bring them to church. And if they don't need to know Jesus, you share Jesus with them. Matthew 9:2. Some men brought to Jesus a paralytic friend lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Man, the Pharisees that were there when He said that, they just lost it. Who does He think He is? Forgiving sin? Who in the world? Well, take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. He did not even speak to his deformity. Are you getting that? I'm going to give you something better. Your sins are forgiven. Because of your faith to come before me, your sins are forgiven. Well, but Lord, you know, you might want to check out the rest of me on this too. Did God bring that healing? Totally, always does. But He also lets us know there's something a lot greater than just to feel good and to be physically fit. And that is, son, your sins are forgiven. Whew. Number six, faithful people build the faith of others, not tear it down. Not stepping on someone when they're in the ditch. Not putting down the word. You know, let me tell you one of the great problems I see of our generation. It is for mocking the different Christian congregations for how they may worship. That's bad, folks. When a person says, "I have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of my life," and then we look at that particular denomination, Christian denomination, and say, "But you know, I just don't believe the way you believe." It's not in the way you believe, it's who you believe in. And when a person says, "I am a Christian, I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior," you better back off and leave it alone. Well, why would he stay in a denomination that thinks that way? Maybe God's keeping them there to straighten them out. Maybe it's our denomination and the Lord's keeping us in this denomination, hoping that one day again it'll come back to the foot of the cross. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you've learned from me, oh, Paul loved teaching Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, you are to entrust to other faithful people. You do not knowingly go into a hog pen, meaning of a bunch of unbelievers, and start speaking the name of Christ and preaching where his word is going to be trampled under their feet. We are commanded by God to go in the presence of man and in his spirit, God's spirit, when we are called to cut loose and start preaching or teaching, do it. But don't ever attempt to do it on your own, because they will take those pearls as a pig would in the pig pen, and they'll bury the pearls in the hog walla, and then they'll bury you there. Don't ever let the world use your Christian faith as a mocking against our Christ. Oh, come on, Vance, tell us some of that Jesus stuff. Oh, I'll let Jesus tell you some of that Jesus stuff. And once he's revealed his Jesus stuff to you, then you will be happy to receive it. The things you've learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, you are to entrust to other faithful people who will also be qualified to pass it on to others. What makes me qualified? Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. Luke 22, 31 and 32. Peter, listen to what Jesus is saying to him. Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Now, you got to think of this, folks. Pay attention to these verses. Jesus is telling Peter that Satan, what did he do? Satan has asked. Oh, another translation, Satan has requested. Huh? Who's he going to ask and request? Jesus. Folks, you want a good drink of water? Go to the head of the stream. Even Satan can't mess with us without getting permission. And if he is given permission, God says that he will use that to make us stronger. Anything that comes against us, the Lord will use to glorify his name and to help us in our Christian growth. Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not completely fail. Let me read it again. I have prayed for you that your faith will not completely fail. Folks, when you're hurting, when you're in pain, when the agony of life has so much pressure on top of you, you will start second guessing. If you've never hurt that bad, I pray that you won't. But when it gets down to that point in your life, you will start second guessing yourself. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus who said, Peter, I pray that your faith will not completely fail. Well, now, if you had been there that day during the crucifixion for that week, you would have noticed a man by the name of Peter who blended so well in with all those haters of Christ that they couldn't even tell that he was one of the disciples, because Jesus wasn't popular anymore. But you cannot completely fail in your faith. Will you waver? You better believe it. Why? I don't have any idea. But I do know that Christ is the answer. So after you have repented and turned to me again, got it? Strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers. Folks, being faithful in a faithless world is not my responsibility. Being faithful in the faithless world means that when I put my faith in Christ, he is faithful and just to deliver us through this world. Lord, I don't know what to do. Great, Larry, I can use you now. I can use you when you come to me with nothing in your hand. And I will use you in payday someday.